Today's daf was Brachos Daf Yud. Let's begin Chazara of Brachos Daf Yud. On the very bottom of Tesim Beis, the Gemara had quoted a pasuk: "Yitamu chatav min ha'aretz Rishayim Odeinam Baruch Hinafshi Es Hashem Haluluka." The reason the Gemara initially quoted that pasuk was to prove that the first two kapitulach of Tehillim were in fact originally one chapter, and that later on they were divided, because it was said about this pasuk that it took 103 prakim of Tehillim till David said Haluluka. It was only after he saw the downfall of the Rishayim. But this, in fact, is at the end of the 104th capital of Tehillim. So the Gemara again uses that pasuk in the context of a story where a mayor was being bothered by a bunch of thugs, so he started to daven that they should die. Bruria, his wife, corrected him and said, "No, yutamu chataim, it says. It does not say yutamu chotim, the sinners should die, only the sins should die. And therefore, Rishayim Odeinam, there won't be any more Rishayim, so you should daven that they do tshuva." And in fact, that's what a mayor did. Once it mentions that, the Gemara tells us another story where Bruria used the end of a pasuk to show somebody who had mistakenly, who had misunderstood a pasuk. A tzeduki had misunderstood or had questioned how the pasuk Rani Akara makes any sense. Why would someone rejoice if they are barren? So Bruria said, "No, you look at the end of the pasuk. It says if the pasuk is clearly referring to someone who does have children. It talks about b'nei shomema mi'b'nei bu'ula. It only means to say that Knesset Yisrael is like a barren woman in that we don't have any children who are destined to Gehenim." The Gemara then tells us another challenge from a tzeduki, where a tzeduki asked why it is that the kapitel in Tehillim about David running away from Avshalom appears well before the kapitel about David running away from Shaul, even though obviously chronologically he ran away from Shaul first. And the answer was that because we darshan smuchim, Rabbi Avohu explained, and we needed to put David needed to put the kapitel about running away from Avshalom near the kapitel about Gog Magog, lest one question the nevuah of Gog Magog, is it really shayach that an eved is going to be moried against his master? So we say, look, even a son was moried against his father, so it's very shayach that an eved would be moried against his master as well. Then the Gemara again uses this Baruch Hinafshi, and it tells us that there are five Baruch Hinafshis correspond to two things. First, to the five stages in life that about which David sang Shira, and second, to the five qualities that the Neshama shares with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The five stages in life that David sang Shira about were as a fetus, right at the moment of birth, when he looks at the Kochav Mazalos, when he's nursing from his mother, and he enjoys the fact that the nursing of a human being comes from the Makom Bina and not from a dirty place. And number four, the downfall of his enemies, he sang Shira about. And finally, he sang Shira about death, about the Yom HaMisa. The five things that the neshama has in common with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is that just like Hashem fills the world, the neshama fills the guf. Number two, that just as the Hashem sees but isn't seen, the neshama sees but isn't seen. Number three, just like Hashem gives mezonos to the whole world, the entire world supports the entire world, the neshama supports the guf. Number four, just as Hashem is tahar, Elokai Hashem and neshama shensat to be tahorahi, the neshama is also tahar. And finally, that just like Hashem resides in chadrei chadarim, the neshama also resides in chadrei chadarim. Then the Gemara goes on to tell us that when Chana says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu that ain't sor kelokenu, it really means ain't that he's the ultimate artist, in that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes an image, it has an inside to the image. There are intestines and there are inner workings to the image, that he even makes a tzura betoch tzura. Even a human being inside of another human being develops and has its own intestines and its own kidney and liver and heart and brain and everything working on beyond just the surface. Also, something unique about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's work is that Hashem outlives his work, whereas human beings very often their work outlives them. Then finally, in the bottom of the page on Daf Yoram Aleph, the Gemara tells us that Chizkiyo had to get sick in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a pshara to deal with the stalemate that was going on between Chizkiyo and Yeshayahu. Each one was saying that the other one should go visit them. Whose job is it to visit who? The Navi to visit the king, or the king to visit the Navi? So Hashem made Chizkiyo sick and said to Yeshayahu, "No, you have a mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, so you have to go visit Chizkiyo." At the visit, Yeshayahu told him that he's going to go to Gehenna, he's not going to have Olam Haba, because he never was also osek in Puruvu. And Chizkiyo insisted that he was not osek in Puruvu because he knew who his child was going to be, that it was going to be Menashe. And Yishayo told him, that's not your cheshbon. You have to do the mitzvah that you're supposed to do. But this is a final decision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Chizkiyo says, no, I have a Mesorah. There's no such thing as a final decision. You always have to be Mevakesh Rachamim up until the very last moment. So Chizkiyo davens on the top of Yudam and Beis in the Zuchus of his grandfather, of Shlomo HaMelech, building the Beis HaMikdash, and says that if the Isha Shunamis was zocha to a miracle of Tchias HaMesim for her son, just because she built one lousy wall, so my grandfather, who built all the walls of the Beis HaMikdash with such beauty and grandeur, should for sure earn me some credit. The Gemara lists six things that Chizkiyo did, three of which were approved of by the Chachamim, and three of which the Chachamim disapproved of. The three that the Chachamim approved of were to hide the Sefer Refuah that apparently had a lot of cures of various illnesses, but it stopped people from davening properly, according to Rashi. Number two, he broke the Nechash and Nechoshes that had stopped the plague in the Midbar because people started worshipping it. And number three, the third good thing is he dragged his father's bones on a mitah shel chavalim because he wanted to get his father a kapara. The three bad things that he did, that the Chacham did not like, was that he stopped the Mei Gichon, he closed off the water source. Number two, that he cut down the doors of the Heichal to send to the Melech Ashur. And number three, that he was Ma'aber the year he made an Adar Beis on the 30th day of Adar, when it technically could have theoretically been Nisan already, which is a violation of a din of Shmuel, that you're not allowed to be Ma'aber the Shana once you reached a day that could have theoretically been Nisan, once it's the 30th day of Adar. Then the Gemara goes on to tell us that if one davens in his own zuchus, when Hashem answers the tefillah in the affirmative, he points out that he's doing it in somebody else's zuchus. But when one davens in somebody else's zuchus, then when Hashem answers the tefillah in the affirmative, he says that it's in your own zuchus. Moshe Rabbeinu davened in the zuchus of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, was answered in his own zuchus. Chizkiyo davened in his own zuchus, was answered in the zuchus of his ancestors, of David. So the Gemara then tells us that the nature of the room that the Isha Shunam is built for Elisha is subject to machlokas. Either it was a roof, it was a roof that she had turned into an attic, or it was she had a large room and she just built a wall that split it into two. Once we talk about Elisha and the Shunamis, the Gemara tells us that there are two valid drachim in that we find amongst great men in terms of whether one should take benefit from the hospitality of others. Elisha certainly did benefit from the hospitality of the Shunamis, but then he had Shmuel, who would always bring whatever he needed with him, would never try to benefit from anyone else's hospitality. The Isha Shunamis, the final statement about the Isha Shunamis, the Gemara tells us, is that she recognized the Kedusha of Elisha very quickly, either because there were no flies flying around him, or because she changed the sheets and noticed that there was no carry, and that's part of the way women are. Women are able to recognize things about guests that men do not recognize, but she also recognized the lack of Kedusha in Elisha's assistant, in Gehazi, who apparently had assaulted her in some way. The Gemara then gives us a list of things that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina said in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The first of which was about the Isha Shunamis, how since she used the word Tamid in describing Elisha's presence in her house, we see that that when you host a Talmud Chacham, it's like bringing a carbon Tamid. But then he tells us three things about Tefillah. Again, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. First thing about Tefillah is that you should daven in a low place, Mima Makim Karasicha Hashem. Second thing, that you should daven with the feet together to mimic the malachim who have one straight foot. And the third thing is that you don't eat before davening. Lo sochel el adam, a person should not eat prior to being mispalel al damchem. The Gemara then closes off the discussion of the previous Mishnah of when is the sof zman kriyash mashal shachris by telling us that one is allowed to say kriyash mashal shachris until 3 hours into the day, that is in fact how we paskin, and after that you can still say kriyashma, but it's only like your kari b'torah. And the Gemara records a machlokas if you should say the brachos when you are going to say kriyashma after 3 hours into the day, and the Gemara's maskana is that yes, in fact, one should say the brachos. Mirza Hashem, we'll pick up next time with Daf Yud Aleph, but really with starting from the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Yud Amud Beis.